So go to Matthew 5, and we're going to jump in Matthew 5, but then we're going to hit the ground in John 5. Two very different Gospels, written by two very different men. Matthew, the publican, the Levite, and John, the fisherman. In Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. Okay? Jesus makes it very clear that he is not come to destroy the law. Why does he say this right here? What have I said that he has done since his ministry began? Every chance he gets, which appears to the Pharisees and the Jews and the priests and the scribes to be a man who is what? Tearing down what? The law. Their religion. Okay? Yet every word he speaks is true, and every chance he gets, he breaks, violates, disobeys man's rules and regs for religion. Why is that? Why do you think he did that? Because God sets the rules. God determines the terms. God is the one that sets the boundaries. And it would behoove us not to help him. It would behoove us not to help him. We are to obey him. But we are not to help him in that regard. And in Christ's ministry, and this is never emphasized, but I'm going to do it. Every time he breaks a tradition, I'm going to hammer on it. Because if we're not careful, the lesson here is that history will repeat itself. Okay? And we don't want to do that. He says, but at the same time, in the same breath, he says, because why does he say think not? He knows their... He's saying think not because he knows what they are exactly. He's saying think not because he knows they're thinking that he has come to destroy the law and the prophets. Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but what? What does Jesus say he's going to do? I'm going to fulfill all of this. I'm going to fulfill all of the ceremonial ritual of 1,500 years. I'm going to fulfill it as the Lamb of God. Amen. The kids just sang a song. He is King. And he is King. And that's what they want, is a king. But the first time he came, it was to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lion of Judah, the King, is coming. And he will rule and reign with the rod of iron. And there will be a point in time where he truly will establish his earthly kingdom. And these dear people want it right now. And when I say now, I mean now, then, now. They want that now. But that's not what'll help them now. It's where our minds are so twisted. What we think we need and what God knows that we need. And it is the same way with these people. These are not idolaters. These are not baby sacrificers. They do not have the arms of Moloch. They do not have the groves up on the hills anymore. They are 200% immersed in the law. The problem is they have taken the pendulum and yanked it to an extreme by adding to it the traditions, rituals, and commands of men. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass. This is an interesting verse, and I'm not going to do it today because I don't want to cook your noodles and you be fried for the rest of the message and miss the rest of the message because of what I desperately want to say about this verse, but I'm not going to do it till we get here in the chronological study, all right? Till heaven and earth pass. Let me ask you something. Are heaven and earth going to pass? Don't say no, because they are. Will we need the law in heaven? No, we won't. There will come an end to the law. Because it says it right here. Not one jot or tittle in no wise pass from the law. What does it end with? Till all. Hello. I like that ringtone. Don't worry about it. It's all right. It's just one of them things where the ringtone. You know what that's the Holy Spirit telling me to do? Don't stay on this verse any longer because I can already see smoke rolling out of your ears. Till all be fulfilled. When's everything going to be fulfilled? Is there a point where it'll be fulfilled? All will be fulfilled? Absolutely. The law and the prophets will be fulfilled at the end of the great white throne judgment when the heaven and the earth will pass away. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and we roll into eternity. No more dispensations. And then the law will be gone. Gone. Because it says that right there. It says it right there in that verse. All right? You know, I'm thankful for that. We won't need it. Because we'll have a new heart and a new mind. And we'll have the living word of God right there with us 24/7. I can't imagine that. None of us can at this time. Let me show you something in a couple verses that follow after that, though. Let's stay in the jump spot for a second. I'm not going to read the whole verses because I'll end up preaching the context, and I don't want to do that. Look real quick over at verse 21. Notice what the first words are. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time. Verse 22, but I say unto you. Verse 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time. Verse 28, but I say unto you. Verse 31, it hath been said. Verse 32, but I say unto you. Verse 33, ye have heard that it hath been said. Verse 34, but I say unto you, verse 37, but let your communication be. Verse 38, ye have heard that it hath been said. Verse 39, but I say unto you. Verse 43, ye have heard that it hath been said. Verse 44, but I say unto you. See a pattern there? But notice what's not said. What's not said is that the Lord said unto you. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time. Them of old time is not Jehovah. Them of old time are the rabbis and the Pharisees who over 400 years have added to the Word of God in their oral tradition, which was codified after 70 AD. Actually written down. Okay, so it's oral all the way up until that point. And this is what Jesus is attacking. He is attacking what has been said of them of old time. And I'm telling you right now, we have to be careful with what's been said of them of old time by men if it don't line up with the Word of God.
Amen, Pastor.
Just because a man says it with a denominational name attached to his name doesn't make it gospel, and it doesn't make it God's Word, and that includes this guy right here. Okay? What matters is, what counts is, what stands for eternity is, what does God say? What does God say? God sets the rules. God makes the terms. God establishes the boundaries. And that is what Jesus is doing in this chapter here when he says, "But I say unto you," what is he doing? He is the one who is setting the terms. He is the one who is making the rules. He is the one who is setting the boundaries. And in this position, he is in the place of who? God. Which we'll see in John chapter 5 as we get there. That's the problem with religion today. Everybody wants religion. There aren't too many people. Now, I will admit, we are living in an age now, a time now, as my generation is starting to get into the twilight times. These generations below us, they don't want religion. They don't want anything. They don't even want a gender. You know, they don't want anything. They want to live in a non-binary world. I'm not anything. Well, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. They don't want a God. They don't want a gender. They don't want rules. They don't want a government. And it's like, you want to live in that? Because what does that look like? Heard that term recently used. It's a more modern term. What does that look like? What does the society built on that looks like? And you know what? I'm glad most of us aren't going to be around to see that. But some of these little ones are. They're going to be around to see that society that actually looks like that, that just wants nothing. I don't understand where that's going. But I do know this. I do that so many people that you run into want God, but they want him on their terms. Man, did I ever run into that in the Native community up north. Because they wanted their spiritual culture with God sprinkled in. You know what? I used to beat my head against the wall up there and say, you can't have both. I do not believe in syncretism. I do not believe that what a lot of religions have done today is said, well, you know, as long as you're with us, if you want to keep that stuff, you can. It's not a problem. And God said, you cannot serve what? Two masters. You can't serve your culture and serve Jehovah if your culture is contrary to this. And what is the culture of America? It's college and money. It's college, money, and computers. I got three C's. College, currency, and computers. Man, I did that. Alliterated. College, currency, and computers. That's all America wants. They have that, they're happy. And I find where each one of those things, if we're not careful, can fall contrary to the Word of God. But that is our culture now. But we can't have our spiritual whopper our way. As much as everybody wants that. And that's what the Pharisees wanted. That's what the Jews wanted. They wanted the Messiah whopper. They wanted Jesus their way, which is the Lion of Judah. But that's not why he came the first time. And all the Old Testament prophets spell that out. That's why Jesus said, you have the law and the prophets. Look at them. You know what? So do we. But how is it today that we miss it? We miss the fact that God is the one that sets the rules. God makes the terms. You know, God is unchanging. But he does and will change how he administers the economies to man at different points of time. And the reason why is, and we're studying that on Sunday night, is because we fail. We fail. It's not because of him, it's because of us. But I say unto you, go to John chapter 5. Just as a little add-on to what I just said, how many times have you heard this? Well, I believe. Well, I see it this way. I just don't see that. I think it's... This is my interpretation of that passage. How many times have we heard that? Yeah. You have heard it said of men of old times. That's where all that comes from. When it's in black and white and some red, if you got a red letter Bible. Let's go to that passage in John where we left off. Go to John 5, verse 8. John 5, verse 8. I hit on this, so I'm not going to go back again to it, but we'll just go by way of review. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. This is not a request, is it? This is a command. And there are multiple verses in the Bible that command us to be saved. We are commanded to be saved. It's not a request. And when we say no, we are not simply declining a request. We are disobeying a what? A command. That makes it different, doesn't it? It's like, here, you want another cup of coffee? Oh, no thanks, I've already had enough. No. It's not, you're not denying a request by God. You're disobeying a direct command. And that's one thing I remember you didn't do in the military. If you did that, and I saw guys do it, you were headed for NJP, man. Non-judicial punishment, and if it was bad enough, you could be court-martialed. There is no disobeying a direct command. Jesus says here to the man, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And you know what I like about this man? He did it. He did it. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was what? Sabbath. And I didn't get to finish last week as far as Sabbath is concerned, so let me try and do that now. Instead of having my phone up here to read it off of, I printed the whole thing, okay? Double-sided, so I saved some paper. But and then I used that that setting where it says draft, and it's like I can barely read it in some places because it didn't spit out the ink the way I wanted. Sabbath. Carrying, burning, extinguishing, finishing, writing, erasing, cooking, washing, sewing, tearing, knotting, untying, shaping, plowing, planting, reaping, harvesting, threshing, winnowing, selecting, sifting, grinding, kneading, combing, spinning, dyeing, chain stitching, warping, weaving, unraveling, building, demolishing, trapping, shearing, slaughtering, skinning, tanning, smoothing, marking. Did you get all that? Okay. The guy's healed. Jesus gives him a command, okay? Rise, and what does Jesus say here? Remember, I am not come to destroy the law, but what? To fulfill it, right? So, it's Sabbath. You think Jesus got the days mixed up? No. He's God. He knew what he was doing. He knew it was Sabbath day. Scared. Take up thy bed and walk. Take up thy bed. Rising's okay. Walking's okay. But to take up thy bed? What have we done here? I'll tell you what we've done here. We have broken a Pharisaical tradition, all right? And the Pharisees would actually use scripture and twist it to prove their point. That's what we have to be so careful with scripture, in that we don't use it abuse it to use it. Does that make sense? You can take something out of context, which is abusing it. Anytime we take a verse out of context, we are abusing it. The world throws this one in our face constantly. Judge not. That's abusing it. Because I can use it rightfully in its context because it's not saying what the world says it's saying. Here, he gives him a direct command. And he tells him, take up thy bed, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. He did exactly what Jesus said to do. And we find the apostles doing that later on, after Pentecost, particularly with Peter, as they said, we're telling you not to preach in Jesus' name. And he says, it is better to obey than exactly. And Jesus is doing this here. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Verse 10. Now, this was located right outside. That's all right. We don't need the map. The map of the city up. You know which one I'm talking about. No, leave it. Leave it. We're good. It's right outside of the temple. Okay? It's the sheep gate. The pool's right outside where the sheep gate is, where the sheep come in for sacrifices. There's Pharisees everywhere. It's the feast, so they're all in town, all right? It's Passover. Everybody's there. They're in town. The place is crawling with, I'm going to call them what they were, religious zealots, okay? Crawling with religious zealots. And the man simply does what Jesus told him to do. Get up, get your bed, and go. He didn't even tell him where to go, did he? A lot of the others, he said, go and show yourself to the priest or go home to your family. He didn't do this with him. He just said, pick up your bed and walk. Jesus knew where the guy was going to go. It's interesting to see where the guy goes. But he goes where he is immediately, or close to immediately, I believe it was almost immediate, that the Pharisees observed him. The Jews, therefore, said unto him, verse 10, that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. the Sabbath day. Remember? We talked about that. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Here's what you can circle in your Bibles. I've already done it on my sheet here. They're saying, it is not lawful to carry. Okay? It doesn't matter what's in his hand. It is not lawful to carry. Now, that is in the Jewish 39 things from an Orthodox Jewish website. It is number one. Pretty much everything spins off of carrying. It does. How many of you got a pen in your pocket today?
Breaking the Sabbath.
You carried it from where? Where'd you carry it from? From the house? Stone them all right now. Stone them all right now. Carrying. Right off the Jewish website. This category involves carrying in a public place. There's caveats. It's kind of like the Amish. They can't have a phone, but they got them little booths out at the end of the lane. They're right at the end of the road on the county property. It's the same thing. The category involves carrying in a public place. This is one of the few categories of work that is actually mentioned in the Torah. I'm going to get you guys here. Just wait. It is also the very first type of work. It is also the very first type of work that was prohibited. Remember now who's talking here. This is filtered down from the Pharisees, but this goes back to right here. This goes back to right here. They still have today what's right here in Matthew chapter 5. Okay? So don't think that just because I got this off an Orthodox Jewish website that this is something they've cooked up modern-wise. Uh-uh. This goes back right here. Right? So, as we discussed earlier, the initial commandment of the Sabbath was given in connection with the manna. What have they done here? They have connected the gathering of the manna with the Sabbath. All right? But what possible type of work was involved in gathering a portion of the manna for one's family? And here's what they're saying. Obviously, this is carrying. So what they're saying is when God said, don't go out and pick up the manna on Sabbath day, keep it, it'll keep overnight, everything will be good. So what they've said is that the violation is not the work. The violation is the carrying. All right? The carrying. Thus, when Moses told the people, Exodus 16:29, let no man leave his place on the seventh day, he was telling them that they could not carry the manna. Let no man leave his place on the seventh day says what? Let no man leave his place on the seventh day. It doesn't say, let no man leave his place on the seventh day and carry manna. That's not what God said. See, that's what I'm getting to. It's got to be what God said. We can't add to it. I've done it a million times in my life. I've done it. I've changed words. I've added things to it because I want it to fit my narrative. I want it to fit my scenario. I want to make the terms. And we can't do that. We can't do that. So, here we go. The Torah also gives an account of a man who was put to death for gathering wood on the Sabbath. Here again, at least they're honest right here. And they say, here again, according to some commentators, his violation of the Sabbath involved carrying. All right? See what they said? According to some commentators, rabbis over the centuries. All right? Look, I read commentaries till I'm blue in the face. And I'm not. I don't apologize for it. And I'm not saying do it or don't do it. But I read commentaries till I'm blue in the face. But at the end of the day, you know what I recognize? And you know what I hold to as far as what I read? It was written by a man. Amen. It must line up with Scripture. lines up with Scripture, I'm good with it. I read Spurgeon's sermons constantly. I read his sermon about this. At the end of the day, it's Charles Haddon Spurgeon. What does it say here? Okay? What does it say here? So he says here, in the third place, the prophet Jeremiah specifically warns his people not to carry on the Sabbath. He says, Jeremiah 17, 21 to 22, take heed to carry no burdens on the Sabbath. Also, do not carry any burden out of your houses on the Sabbath. Note 3. Carrying is really the prototype of all other types of Sabbath work. So they kind of base a lot of the rest of everything, all those 39 things that I read, it all goes back to this carrying thing, which, what is Jesus doing right now? What's he doing right now? Rise, pick up your bed, and walk. Okay? Did Jesus ever break the law?
No.
Carrying is really the prototype of all other types of Sabbath work. As mentioned earlier, the definition of such work is any act where man demonstrates his mastery over nature. Listen to this now. This is where it gets interesting. Where man demonstrates his mastery over nature. But the first act by which man demonstrates such mastery is by taking things from nature and carrying them where he needs them. This was the deed of the man gathering wood. Therefore, we are to relinquish our mastery over nature. The first requirement is that we not carry anything. Listen to this. Relinquish our mastery over nature. And God said, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed, it shall be to you for meat. And every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth on the earth, wherein is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God gave us dominion over what? Everything. I'm not relinquishing my mastery over nature for the Pharisees. Does that make sense? He gave us dominion. Did he ever take it away? He gave us mastery. Did he ever take it away? Is there any place in the Bible where he takes it away? No. Right there, they have violated Genesis. And there are other places in Genesis where it talks about this, where it talks about our dominion and our mastery, not only over the beast, but over the earth, it says. And it never changes. It doesn't change before the fall, and it doesn't change after the fall. He says he'll curse the ground, and then he takes that curse away. But nowhere are we ever, ever told to relinquish our mastery over nature. That was something that was given to us that God has not taken away. So, with that said, let's look at Numbers, chapter 15. Was it the carrying of the sticks that caused the man to be stoned? Was it the carrying of the sticks that caused the man to be stoned? No. It couldn't be. Because if it was, Jesus told a man to carry his bed. Two scriptures cannot disagree. Now the Jews are going to have a problem with John chapter in Numbers chapter 15. Look over for sake of time. Verse 22. And if ye have erred and not observed all these commandments which the Lord hath spoken unto Moses, even all that the Lord hath commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day that the Lord commanded Moses and here forward among your generations, then it shall be, if aught be committed by, what's the next word? Ignorance. Without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall burn one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them. Okay? For it is ignorance. And they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord, for their ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. And any soul, and if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for a stranger that sojourneth among them. And look at the word at the start of the next verse. But. Okay? But. But the soul that doeth ought presumptuously. You know what that means? I don't care what God says. I'm going to do it. This isn't on God's terms. This is on mine. I don't care what God says about genders or abortion or any of that other stuff. I don't care. This is how I see it. Times have changed. That's old fashioned. Society has moved on. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people. What does that mean? It means exactly what it says. If your soul is cut off, your soul has departed. And what causes your soul to depart? Death. Okay? Because he hath here's the key. Because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall be utterly cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him, and it says there's no room for what? Actually, it's not what it says. What doesn't it say? There is no forgiveness. Now, the next verse, which is the context, right on the heels of talking about outward and open presumptuous sin, rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft, okay, rebellion, right on the heels of that, we have the story of the guy with the sticks. You think there's a coincidence there that story happened to appear right there?
No. No.
And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And notice what it says there. It doesn't say a word about carrying, does it? Interesting. This is how things get twisted. It only takes a word, a spelling, a different tense. It's all it takes. And they found him gathering sticks, brought him unto Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. Now, if he had broken Sabbath in an overt way, would there be any question by the elder? I'm trying to put this into words because this has been cooking my brain for days. Why did they have an issue here with doing what they got to do with this guy? Why did they put him in ward? Why does it say here that, and they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done? They didn't know what to do with him. Why didn't they know what to do with him? If he's carrying sticks and it's carrying something, then it's stoning time, man. Amen. The question is, here's the gist of all of the law. Is it deliberate or is it an ignorance? And in the Old Testament, if it was deliberate, there's no forgiveness. If it's an ignorance, there's the shedding of the blood. Okay?
And here we go. Was it the carrying the sticks? No. No. It absolutely had nothing to do with the carrying of the sticks. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done with him. And notice here, they didn't have a powwow. The men didn't meet and try and get a consensus. What do we do with this guy? No. Who spoke? And why did God speak when he spoke? Because the men couldn't figure out if he had broken the Sabbath or not, because it was something that was presumption or ignorance.
Yeah.
You can't see that on the outside. Out of the mouth comes the issues of the heart. So what did this guy say to them? Look, this is pure speculation. Skip's opinion now. Boop, boop. Quotation marks. I think he lied through his teeth. I think he lied through his teeth. And they don't know what to do with him. And they can't look inside. They can't. Is the sin carrying? No, it's not carrying. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died as the Lord commanded Moses. And I'll tell you why. Because he did it presumptuously. It was his job and he did it. And you know what he said? I'm not working today. I'm just picking up some sticks. He did his, what did I say? All thy labor. He did his labor that day. And he lied about it. So it was presumptuous. And there was no offering a kid. It was stoning. It was out and out rebellion. It was failure to obey the word of God. Where? Not on the outside so much. What stoned this man? His heart got him stoned because they didn't know what to do with it. God knows our heart.
Here, where Jesus tells the man to pick up his bed and walk, has nothing to do with the Sabbath of the Old Testament whatsoever. It is hundreds of years of craziness. They couldn't walk through a field if your sandal clipped a grain of wheat you were harvesting. Brother Klein, can you walk through a crop and not knock a few beans off, or knock off a few kernels of corn or a stalk off? No, you can't.
You can't. They weren't allowed to walk through the fields for fear that their sandal would hawk a wheat stalk and a piece of grain would come off and hit the ground. That's not what God said in the Old Testament. He said, you're not to do thy work.
You ready for this? If you spit on the ground, it makes mud. You made mortar.
This ain't something I dreamed up. This is a part of the Pharisaical stuff.
Remember when Jesus goes, oh, ladies, ready for this? You're not allowed to look in the mirror on Sabbath day, because if you do and you're tempted to pluck a gray hair, you have violated the Sabbath.
That's right in there. It's right in there. I don't have time to read this whole thing. It's fascinating. If you read these things, it is just, it's unbelievable. All of this list of stuff that they have.
Because there was the 39, and then there were like 39 offshoots of the 39, which brings us down to the clipping of the grain and it falling on the ground. How do you live that way? Let me ask you this. Can you live that way? No. So let me put this into perspective. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that and are heavy, and I will give you rest.
It ain't got nothing to do with your job.
Right.
Put it in its proper context. You know what he was talking about? Those 39 things that the Pharisees had laid on. It ain't talking about your job. It's not talking about being tired after getting home after a hard day's work. It's talking about the burden that the Pharisees had laid on all those people.
And that's why Jesus said, come to him. And that's why he broke their tradition every chance he got. Now let me finish here. Try to. Go back to John chapter 5. I just want to end with this. I could spend a day on this. This is my bane. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is Sabbath day, it is not lawful to carry. We just established something, didn't we? There's nothing wrong with carrying on the Sabbath. Okay? Verse 11, the man answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. As soon as the Pharisees rolled in to that situation, Jesus melted into the crowd. It's Passover. He had to. It wasn't his time. Okay? It's just like the hill at Nazareth, because these guys would have grabbed him right there on the spot. He melts into the crowd. He conveys himself away. Then they asked him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? They could care less that a man who had been crippled for 38 years could now walk. They have not one micron of compassion about them. It's all about their rules and regs. It's all about their rules and regs. They don't even ask him about the healing. Can you imagine? All they want to know is what? Who told you to do that? That's all they want to know. No compassion. They were typical of men. The Pharisees should have been rejoicing and glorifying God for what had happened. They had no compassion, no sympathy, no thankfulness that the suffering of another human had ended. All they wanted to know was, who told you to break our rules? We got to be careful with that, you know what? Because I look at the world, and as the world gets more wicked and I draw away, I judge them on my rules. They're just doing what lost people do. Yes. They're saying what lost people say. No, it bothers me. It vexes us, and it should vex us. Just like the filthy conversation of the wicked vexed just Lot. But we cannot, brothers and sisters in Christ. Look, I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I believe this is the last popular vote that's going to go this way. I do. I pray not. But if the next time it doesn't, and I thought about that the other day, what if this election had gone the other way? How would I be? What would my attitude be to the world as I get out there and rub shoulders with the world? How would I lose some compassion? I think knowing my flesh, I would. I would. And as we close today, there's two groups of people in here. You're either saved or you're lost. Here's the point. If you're saved, check up on your compassion. I had a whole list of verses, and I may start out with reading them next week. On Christ's compassion. And we call ourselves Christians, okay? And I got a list of verses on Christ had. And he looked on the multitude and had compassion on them because they fainted as sheep not having a shepherd. But I don't look on the world like that right now. I can honestly say that. I look on them and say, you're going to get what you're going to get, and I hope you get it quicker. How am I going to win somebody with that kind of thinking? It's not going to happen because I'm just going to let opportunities go by. So what do I need? Well, I need that compassion, and so do you if you're a believer. And then if you're here today and you're lost, you can make all the terms you want, but someday you're going to bow the knee and you're going to answer to God. And I wouldn't want to be that person. I wouldn't want to be that person. You can say, I'm just going to... You can have a presumptuous attitude. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. And you're going to die in your sins and spend eternity in hell. Stand with your heads bowed. I didn't even get close to finishing today. But you know what? We got next Sunday unless the Lord comes back. And if the Lord comes back, that message ain't going to mean nothing. Because we'll be with him. We'll have the living word of God with us. There won't be any question about anything, will there? Man, I'm looking forward to that. But if you're here today and you've lost some of that, you've lost some of that compassion, oh, pray that the Lord will squeeze it back into you, because our flesh doesn't want it. And if you're here today and you're lost, it ain't on your terms.